tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's June 25th, 2024. I'm your host, Joe Boris. Feels like we beat up on Tesla's Cybertruck a little bit yesterday, and today is going to start off no differently. Tesla is forced to recall over 11,000 Cybertrucks to cover trim detaching and wiper issue. The trim is a piece inside the bed that is said to be able to separate while driving the truck down the road, and the windshield wiper issue is obviously one that during heavy rains or snow could cause a legitimate safety concern. So obviously these are recalls that need to happen, they're important to happen, and they do reveal that Tesla has built 11,383 Cybertrucks. So that's pretty cool. That's quite a bit higher number than I would have suspected. I think a lot of you might have suspected a lot higher. Let us know what you think of that in the comments. In other Tesla news, Mercedes has been added to the NACS. That's obviously North American Charging Standard. That's that Tesla plug coming soon page as Tesla slows down their rollout. Now, this is really interesting because earlier this year, obviously Elon Musk laid off the entire supercharger division, or at least the majority of it. Obviously, some of those people have come back, but a lot of those people have gone elsewhere. And Elon has then very famously said that they're going to still invest $500 million in the rollout of the supercharger network. That's still a massive reduction in what Tesla had been spending on the supercharger network up to that point. So the question now is, how quickly will the network open up to other manufacturers? And what does that mean for those manufacturers? If I'm Mercedes-Benz, if I'm Hyundai, if I'm Volvo, I'm going to be looking at this and really trying to understand when should I start delivering cars with that NACS connector, with that NACS protocol as standard equipment? Because obviously that's a big change from the CCS. It's not just a quick in and out swap kind of thing. There's some significant architecture, firmware, software that needs to take place. And obviously those vehicles need to be accepted into that supercharger network. Just having the plug is not the only thing required. There's a software handshake there. So with this kind of announcement, it's always interesting to see how quickly it becomes a reality, right? So watch the space, because obviously having a single national charging standard is going to be something that a lot of mainstream Americans are going to look at as a sign that, okay, this EV technology is maturing. It's ready for prime time. We're all using the same plug. I don't have to worry about trying to find this plug or that plug or this other plug. I can just go find an EV charging station and plug in. I think that's going to be a huge barrier that's going to be overcome in terms of adoption, and look forward to seeing that. Moving on from Tesla's supercharger network, Tesla's Model 3 is now cheaper to lease than a Toyota Camry. That's right. The best-selling electric sedan is now cheaper to lease than the standard 2025 hybrid Toyota Camry. Now, obviously, all the new Toyota Camrys are hybrid. That's kind of a new thing that they're doing. Regardless of that, you can lease the 2024 Tesla Model 3 standard range rear-wheel drive for just $299 a month over 36 months with $39.93 due at signing. According to the people at Cars Direct, that makes the effective monthly cost $410. On the Toyota side, Toyota is offering their LE Camry model for $359 a month over 36 months with $29.99 due at signing. The Toyota Camry's MSRP is only $29,804, but the effective cost is $442, $32 more per month than the Model 3. This is one of those things that makes perfect sense to people who are looking at this and who really are familiar with leases. Teslas historically have higher residual rates than internal combustion models. And in a lease, what you're effectively paying on is the difference between that residual value 36 months from now and the initial purchase price. While Tesla can control their purchase price a little bit more than the OEMs and legacy OEMs can do. So by effectively lowering their price, using that EV tax credit, they're able to get that lease deal down into that lower amount, keep that residual high, and offer this to consumers with superior performance, superior handling, and do so for a lower net cost. So this is really exciting stuff. If you're looking for an EV, can't go wrong with a Model 3. And if you're looking at the Toyota, obviously lots of positive things to say about the Toyota. It's proven technology, proven reliability. But at the end of the day, it's not an EV. No matter how much Toyota wants to advance this marketing gimmick of calling it an electrified vehicle, it's not an electric vehicle, runs on gas. So we need to nip that in the bud. I think the Tesla is a better deal, but you can let us know what you think in the comments. Now, while we're on the topic of lease deals, it's important to note, Rivian is now leasing its R1T and R1S in 33 U.S. states. A lot of people don't realize Rivian is experiencing tremendous amount of growth, but it's still not a 50-state vehicle. Not that it's not legal in 50 states, it's just not sold there. The EV company announced Tuesday, that's today, that it's now leasing the R1T and R1S models in Connecticut, Hawaii, and Rhode Island. The R1T is listed with pricing as low as $559 a month, which is cheaper than a Nissan Titan. Meanwhile, the R1S is available to lease for as low as $639 a month. Now, the mention of the Nissan Titan is really interesting, right? Because that's just a full-size pickup truck, V8 powered, but it's a lower volume vehicle than anything out there from Toyota or Ram or Chevrolet or Ford. So it looks like it's vulnerable to these new upstart pickup truck manufacturers like Rivian, like the Tesla Cybertruck. It seems like those may be kind of the first models that start to drop off. Maybe not so many Nissan Titan buyers are going to be drawn to that really aggressive, chunky bodywork, but I could see a Nissan Pathfinder owner, a Nissan Titan owner being really attracted to the Rivian. Remains to be seen whether or not that plays out that way. And in other brand news, Polestar is launching a new 2025 Polestar 2 with more range and sleek style upgrade. This is the second major upgrade to the Polestar 2 since it came out in 2020. The first one was kind of the replacement of that front wheel drive base model with a rear wheel drive base model. That really transformed the car, made it much more of a driver's car, much more in keeping with the idea that it's a competitor to BMW or Mercedes-Benz rather than a competitor to a front wheel drive vehicle like a Toyota Camry or like a Lexus ES300 or something like that. So that was a big move towards making this a more premium brand. Now, the second is going to be here in the interior. The interior gains something called animal welfare secured charcoal Napa leather upholstery. Now, Volvo, Polestar, both of them are very progressive companies. They try to be cruelty-free. They have a lot of vegan type interior options. And unlike Tesla that effectively sells white vinyl and calls it vegan leather, this is sustainable wool. This is recycled PET plastic. This is that kind of thing. And they market it in an upscale way, but they don't try to call it leather. This is genuine leather, but it's sourced in a welfare secured way. So you can look into that on your own, see what that means. Other upgrades include some subtle styling tweaks, two new colors, Vapor, which replaces magnesium as standard, and Storm, which replaces Thunder Gray. There's also a new 19-inch Aero alloy wheel and 20-inch Pro alloy wheel with the Pro Pack. All versions of the new Model 2 offer more range with up to 409 miles in the WLTP cycle, and that's with the long-range single-motor model. And in Europe, the standard-range single-motor model gains an upgraded 70-kilowatt-hour cattle battery, boosting range to 344 miles. So 400-mile range, 340-mile range, these are kind of base numbers here. Obviously, they're going to be a little bit lower when we get into the EPA test cycle, but this is still plenty of range. Just about everybody out there is saying that EVs will become practical when you're getting 300 miles of range. You can recharge them in 20 minutes. Well, here you go. This is going to go from 10 to 80 in about 20, 25 minutes on the highest speed chargers that are out there and deliver that sort of mainstream European Euro sedan sporty feel that these kind of customers are looking for. And while we're on the topic of cattle batteries, Cattle has successfully powered an electric aircraft, and an 1,800-mile civil aircraft is expected soon. Now, obviously, Cattle is the world's largest EV battery maker. They supply Tesla. They supply Volvo, Polestar. They supply a lot of OEMs out there. And they're making this electric flight thing a reality by having tremendous, tremendous energy density. 500 watt hours per kilogram. Now, it's worth noting that in 2019, Elon Musk said that for an electric EVTOL or electric aircraft to be viable, it would need to achieve 400 watt hours per kilogram. So the new Cattle battery is fully 25% more efficient, more capable per kilogram than what Elon's calculations said were needed for an electric plane. So it's very likely that these are accurate numbers, and there is no reason to believe that they won't be able to deliver on this electric airplane with 12 to 1800 mile range soon. Several companies, including Swedish startup Heart Aerospace, are developing electric airplanes that will help reduce travel emissions over the next several years. And it looks now like we've got a battery for them. So that's all the news for today, June 25th. Obviously, if you like what you heard, hit that like and subscribe. If you don't, go into the comments and let me know. I will definitely fight it out with you there. Have a great day.